You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator. What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Welcome to the Fantasy Throwdown Podcast, bringing you the latest updates from the world of sports, gambling, and pop culture. Because you can't have a show without hot takes or a Tiger King meme these days. Know what I'm saying? Now, with over 200 episodes and ready to get after it again, here's your host, Dwayne Callender.
All right, folks, we got another NFL Sunday on tap, so let's get right down to it. Plenty of action to talk about, so without much further ado, we have Dallas hosting the Falcons. Dallas, 9.5-point favorites. I love this game, so let's get into it. Dak Prescott had an awful game along with the rest of the Cowboys. Everyone got on him. It was a classic trap spot. I even talked about it. And I still didn't think the Broncos were going to play hard enough to actually win that game. And, you know, got caught when I shouldn't have because I saw the punch coming and I still got hit with it. So that always sucks. But looking at this spot, Dallas got to be far sharper in terms of focus this week. Even if the defense is giving up points, this offense is going to play better today without question, in my opinion. I think they target Atlanta secondary. I love CeeDee Lamb in this spot, but Amari Cooper could definitely get it going too. That's not really a stretch of the imagination. And Dalton Schultz in the tight end spot, I think, could be a very well-utilized weapon this week after getting ignored for a few weeks. So to me, this spot just screams points overall. I like where Dallas is in terms of health-wise, in terms of the offensive plays. I just think that they got caught napping last week and they got punished for it. So to me, this is a target heavily spot. I love Dak in the QB spot. He's 6,900 on DraftKings, 8,100 on FanDuel. Realistically, he's going to be my number one QB this week, and I'm just going to keep targeting him. Ezekiel Elliott, I know I didn't touch on him, but he's 7K on DraftKings, 8K on FanDuel. I don't have an issue going with Zeke, but I'm focusing more on Dak, so I'm underweight on Zeke, but Zeke could easily get there and kind of ruin my day, so I'll probably have some hedge builds where if I'm not playing Dak and the guys, I'm going to play Zeke in that kind of a hedge spot, because I think Zeke definitely can get the work in, and you can play Dak and Zeke together. That's not to say it's impossible for it to get there. is just not the most likely, because for that scenario to work, you need the Dak dump off to Zeke. And I think the Cowboys are going to have enough matchups further down the field that they don't even need to do the Dak dump offs to Zeke to get there. But it certainly can happen. It's just not my preferred route of attacking the game in terms of how I think it plays out. Then on the Atlanta side, you got a classic blowout spot because, you know, I think the Cowboys cover this 9.5. I think they come out to make a statement. They were absolutely flat against the Broncos in this same spot last week. I think they come back because, remember, Thanksgiving is not too far down the road, folks. Jerry loves those Thanksgiving games. And so Dak and the Cowboys really need to start picking it up because, yeah, it was a blip on the radar going dropping that game and going to 6-2. You drop another game and go to 6-3, then people really start talking, especially when it was two winnable games at home. People will start talking in the hot seat, fires right back up on Mike McCarthy. So to me, I think Dallas takes care of business. I'm not going too crazy over it. On the Atlanta side, I do love Cordero Patterson. I love Russell Gage. And my third would be Kyle Pitts. Here's the thing. Tight end, complete crapshoot this week because you got no Kelce, you got no Waller. It is really hard trying to make a case for tight end this week when you don't have any of the big guns in terms of plays, and that's just the way it is. It's like you got no Kittle either. Like, there are no premier tight ends. So to me, you're just kind of rolling the dice. Maybe Dallas Goedert does something, but Jalen Hurts has been awful in terms of actually playing an actual NFL game as QB. He just hasn't been good. Pat Freiermuth, you know. Big Ben isn't playing today. We'll get into that in a bit. So you got Mason Rudolph, but he could be in play at 3,900. But likewise, like I said, the reason why I like Kyle Pitts, not necessarily because everyone is, you know, he's been jumping off the charts. I don't think the Falcons have used him. It's just the fact that Pitts, you know, 5,800, he's not that bad of a price at that end. He's definitely expensive, but it's not egregious, and with so many slim options, he at least has a route to get there. Unlike most tight ends, you're just crossing your fingers and praying. So I'm definitely going to be looking at Kyle Pitts' direction on the Atlanta side. A little bit in terms of Matt Ryan, but that's more on Yahoo. For those of you who don't know, Yahoo has a free. I shouldn't say free. But they have a $20 contest with like a 250K prize pool, grand prize for the winner, that they do the overlay. And what I mean by overlay is Yahoo is literally taking a loss running this contest just because they want to get more people playing. And it just doesn't make any sense not to have exposure there. So to me, I just look at it as a case where, you know, they need to kind of focus on getting, it just doesn't make that much sense going too crazy with some of these plays overall, in my opinion. So to me, Atlanta, You got enough weapons there that, you know, you don't need to try to get too cute with this. I think you have some weapons there, and Pitts definitely can get there. It's just a matter of do you get the proper run back script where Dallas gets up big and then Atlanta starts chipping away and cutting this game down, where then it's like, okay, it's a 3-touchdown game. They get two touchdowns, and then you're worried about a backdoor cover. Certainly possible. I think Dallas still covers the spread. I just don't I just think that Atlanta is viable from a fantasy production standpoint because the Cowboys defense is known to give up big plays. So to me, I like Atlanta too in this spot, but I'm definitely targeting Dak in the passing game because I definitely think with Atlanta secondary, there are points to be scored in this one for certain. So, you know, with that total being at 55, I think it's well worth going after this game. Next up, a game I will not be on. The Jets hosting the Bills, 48 total. The Bills are 13-point favorites. Listen, and I'm going to be very clear here. This line barely moved. The Bills have not shown me enough that I would feel comfortable with the Bills with a line this big. The Jets have played teams tough this year. I don't really like the Jets, but trying to pick on the Jets with what essentially ends up being a 2-touchdown game, I don't like it. I just don't like it. So I'm going to take the Jets side as the dog because they've been pesky enough to hang around in games that they really shouldn't have any business being in. I just don't feel the need to try to target the Jets. I wouldn't be betting this one anyway. But to me, I just don't like, if I'm doing a picks bowl, I don't like trying to force in a Buffalo play where the Bills haven't shown me execution-wise that they can get it done. Can Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs have a great game? Yeah. But like I said, the Jets have been solid enough on defense that they've gotten enough respect out of me where I at least have to contemplate, is it worth it to try to pick on this team? Especially when they've had the 10 days off because they played Thursday Night Football. Mike White is expected to be back under center. I don't think it's worth it. So I'm avoiding this game entirely from a best perspective. I'm not betting it. I'm just pretending it doesn't exist and move on from there. And I would suggest you guys do the same. I don't even like playing the Bills defense in this spot because the Bills defense is so pricey this week across the industry. It's just not worth it, in my opinion. So, moving on. Cleveland and New England. This is one of the ugliest games of the entire slate. New England is a 2-point favorite. Well, depending on the line, it's like some lines I've seen 1.5. Other lines I've seen 2.5. But realistically, I look at this spot and I say to myself, I think Cleveland's still the better team, even though they have not been consistent in the slightest. I'm going to lean with taking Baker here and, you know, hope that, you know, we get a solid enough performance out of Baker where we don't have to start scratching our heads because really do not have the patience to be wondering what Cleveland team I'm getting this week. So from my perspective, I kind of know where I want to go, and I'm not going crazy over how Cleveland shows up today. I expect them to show up, and so I trust they will. That's about as simple as I could say it. It's like I cannot dwell on whether or not I think Cleveland's going to show up. I'm just gonna bank on the fact that they will, and just leave it at that. And they do what they need to do to take care of business and go from there. I'm not gonna stress over thinking how are they gonna get it done. I expect them to get it done, and I think that's just how this game plays out. It may not be the prettiest game on the slate, but I think it's the most logical result, and I'm going to leave it at that, and we will move on in terms of the actual analysis, because I think this game's going to be kind of ugly, to be perfectly honest. Because in terms of the DFS application, I only have interest in D'Ernest Johnson. I don't trust the passing game from either squad. Baker Mayfield's been injured and inconsistent to go along with it. Mac Jones just doesn't have that many weapons, so I'm just going to pass on basically everyone except D'Ernest Johnson. Yeah, you can contemplate the defenses in this game, but these teams tend to not want to turn the ball over either by not going too crazy with it. So I'm not that crazy about the game in general to go out and target, because even the Patriots defense is on the pricier side. So I'm not really feeling it this week. Obviously no Nick Chubb because of the COVID guidelines. So we're going to just kind of move on and keep moving because we got plenty of games to talk about. Pittsburgh and Detroit. No Big Ben. This line moved 3 points. I don't get it. Mason Rudolph is not that much of a drop off from Big Ben at this point, because Big Ben can't throw. Rudolph can throw slightly. He has other deficiencies that get called into question in terms of decision making, but Detroit's bad. I mean, that's just the way it is. So if your line held at 9.5 for a picks pool, yeah, take Detroit. But if your line moved from the 9.5 to like 5.5 or 6.5, you have to take the Pittsburgh side. The Steelers can win this game by a touchdown. Like, the Detroit is not good, folks. They're not good. So to me, if we can get the Steelers for a touchdown or less, you take the Steelers side and you hammer that line, because Detroit is that bad. And Najee Harris can run all over this defense. So they don't need Mason Rudolph to go crazy. I think realistically, this line movement should have been a half point or maybe a point, but not three. Like, it's just too much of a line movement just because Big Ben's out. It's just an overreaction. So to me, hammer the Steelers if you can get it under a touchdown. If you're in a picks pool and it locked, obviously it locked, and there's no change to the line, then you take the Lions side. But you know, keep it simple. And out of this game, the only guy I'm really interested in is Najee Harris for the Steelers. I'll have some exposure to Deontay Johnson as well, just because I could see Mason Rudolph dumping off the ball to him. But I don't like this Detroit side, because I think the Steelers' defense is good enough to shut down this offense. I don't think it's worth it to try to go and try to target. I don't see the point. I don't see the point in trying to do a run back with Detroit side. I just don't think they're good enough. End of story. Jacksonville traveling to Indy to play the Colts. Colts 10.5-point favorites. I'm targeting Carson Wentz. I'm targeting the Colts passing game. I'm targeting Jonathan Taylor. I'm basically targeting, like, if it's Colts related, I'm probably on it. I keep saying it. This Jacksonville team is terrible. The Colts are better than people think. 10.5-point favorites. Honestly, this line should have been flopped with the Bills line, in my opinion. I think the Colts should have been the 2-touchdown favorite instead of the Bills. This Jacksonville team, yes, they had a couple of fluke performances. They had that upset against the Bills, and that's why they already had their upset game against the Bills. They got their fill of victory. They're a terrible club. I don't see them stringing together, gutting out two tough, gritty performances back-to-back weeks. No, I think the Colts smash them, and I just think we move on. The question is, how many different Colts players? I think you can play Carson Wentz, Jonathan Taylor, and Michael Pittman, all three of them together in builds. And would not shock me in the least if you are very successful going with that approach, because I think they constitute 75% of the Colts offense. You can find different players in and out, but to me, there's just no point in trying to get too cute with this. Play the Colts, bet the Colts, move on. Like, it's that simple. Tennessee hosting the Saints. Tennessee 2.5-point favorites, could be 3. Depending on which books you're looking at. But bottom line, New Orleans is playing Trevor Siemian outside the dome in inclement weather. I'm not trusting the Saints to do well outside with a backup QB, no Alvin Kamara. Like, do I need to keep going? Yes, I know the Titans don't have Derrick Henry, but they played well enough defensively to get the W against the Rams. They still have A.J. Brown. Yes, Julio Jones is gone, but this Colts team knows how to get these grimy wins out of the way. I'm going to just take it that Ryan Tannehill will take care of the ball, not throw terrible interceptions like he's done the last couple of weeks. I think the Titans just take care of business. And, you know, at the end of the day, the Titans need to kind of keep this momentum going because they're 7-2. They kind of need to get into one of these spots where they can try to go for a number one seed, because I think if they have any shot of getting Derrick Henry back and going far in the playoffs, they have got to get that bye. So I think they take care of business. They're focused. They lock in and get it done. I don't necessarily like A.J. Brown because of Marshawn Lattimore, but in terms of the actual plays here from DFS standpoint, I'm going to be lower on basically everyone because it's only a 43 total. You can play Jerry McNichols. You can play Adrian Peterson. I just don't like the plays. And to me, this is a low scoring spot. I'm just going to play the Tennessee defense, move on with my life. You can play the Saints defense if you want to get leverage that way. I don't think it's that crazy of an idea. I just think that it's just going to be a low-scoring game overall. Next up, the other game I'm targeting, Tampa against Washington. Tampa, 9.5-point favorites coming into Washington. As you may recall, Tampa had the playoff game to start off the Super Bowl run against Washington. Washington game will go of it with Taylor Heinicke, also the QB that night, going up against them. I just look at this and say Tom Brady is trying to win the MVP award. He's trying to have a touchdown record as well with the squad he's got. Chris Godwin is in. That makes my play that I love for the week even better. Tyler Johnson. No AB, so Antonio Brown is still out. I love Tyler Johnson in this spot because he's going to play the slot. He's going to play AB's role. You still got Godwin healthy. You still have Mike Evans. You can beat Washington with the deep ball. And Tyler Johnson is the speedster on this squad with no AB. Give me Tyler Johnson at 3,300 on DraftKings. He's just so cheap this week. Please, I am just going to jam in Tyler Johnson. I am not going to overthink this one. Yes, you can play Mike Evans as well at 6,900. And I love Terry McLaurin, too. I'm just, as the run back for Washington, at 7,600. Man, this game, you just can go with multiple guys in this game. And the spot, to me, just from an ownership standpoint, it's just not that popular. I don't see it being that popular. I know people are talking about Terry McLaurin, but people don't like playing games where there's expected to be a blowout. Like they get hesitant to do so. I love these spots. So to me, I think you got a Tampa Bay side that's looking to put up points. They get out ahead and they just keep going. And then Washington, yeah, they're going to try to chip away. And the best way to go about it is just keep throwing the deep ball to Terry McLaurin. I don't necessarily like J.D. McKissick that much. But if you don't want to play McLaurin, McKissick's also 5,200 in a blowout spot trying to play catch up. That's where he's going to excel with dump off passes in the backfield. To me, you should be having some exposure to this game. I think it's a mistake not building your lineup to have at least a piece up, a piece from this game. I just think there's way too many potential for explosive plays to ignore this game entirely. Moving on to the 4 o'clock slate, we got Carolina at Arizona. No Kyler Murray, no DeAndre Hopkins. We got this news. This is one of the toughest games to call, in my opinion, because no Kyler, no DeAndre Hopkins, and we saw them smash last week. This line is shifting down to 8.5. And probably it should be closer to 7. Because I just think the line's too big. Yes, we got P.J. Walker in at quarterback for Carolina because Sam Darnold has a fractured shoulder, among other things, and is going to be out for a significant period of time. The Panthers signed Cam Newton. Cam's getting acclimated, so I can't see Cam having any appearance in this game, but who knows? I just look at this game, and, you know, this was an easier game to call with Kyler in. With Kyler out, yeah, they're going to run the ball with James Conner. Do I think they cover? I don't know. I'm avoiding this game outright because, to me, Arizona should win this game, but it's not clear-cut how many points they're getting up, and I think Carolina, for as many struggles as they've had, the NFL is a week-to-week league. They can find a way with Christian McCaffrey to get him the ball and get the ball in the end zone. I can't see this Carolina offense struggling this mightily with so many good skill position players. Like, somebody's got to be able to figure something out. It's just, I don't know. To me, I'm not going to try to pick on Carolina. That's all. Next up, Minnesota and the Chargers. I always say this, you know, Chargers 2.5-point favorites. If you can play Justin Herbert, Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, or Eckler, like a Charger stack, I'm never going to be opposed to. So I'm fine with playing this game. I would do the run back with Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen. Tyler Conklin, it's an interesting play at tight end because tight end is just, you know, such a crapshoot. Conklin's cheap, and the Chargers have been getting abused by tight ends all year long. I don't have a problem with it, so that's where I'm kind of going. I'm going to kind of get through the rest of these here, but I love the Chargers to win the game, and I would bet them under 3 points. To me, that's just a no-brainer. I'm taking it. If Kirk Cousins beats me, he beats me, but I'm okay with taking the Chargers in that spot. Philly, underdogs traveling on the road to Denver. Denver's not good, folks. Philly's not good. So that being said, like, Denver didn't get the full 3-point favorites at home. The line keeps moving towards Philly. Do I have faith in Philly? No. But I know Denver's not any good, and Jalen Hurts can have one or two good throws a game, so I'm going to give the advantage to Philly pulling out a win eventually, but this one should be just an ugly game that I'm hoping I have no exposure to, but since the Giants aren't playing today, they'll probably stick this game on me. Ugh. Anyway, moving on. Green Bay in the game of the day against Seattle. Aaron Rodgers, less said the better. I just think from a narrative standpoint, Rodgers is going to have a lot of people watching him. He knows it. He's ticked off. He's going to play well today. Russell Wilson is back for the Seahawks. This is their last stand. If they don't win today, I don't see how at 3-6 they can possibly make the playoffs. So this is the last stand for Seattle. Russ has got to try to save the day. I think Russ tries to do what he can, but this Packers team is just better than they are. Just flat out better. And you got a ticked off Aaron Rodgers. I just don't see how Seattle doesn't give up a ton of points in this game. So with that being said, I'm going to target this game heavily for the afternoon only slate. I still like other plays better than trying to force in Devontae Adams and Aaron Jones. But I'm not going to say you can't play either of those folks on the main slate. And then on the run back, I would look at DK Metcalf. But again, to me, I'm going to focus this more on the afternoon only slate and not go too crazy on this on the main slate. But I do like the plays. I'm not going to go too heavy on it for it. But that wraps up the afternoon games. Sunday Night Football, we got Chiefs and Raiders. Chiefs 2.5-point favorites on the road to Vegas. Raiders always play the Chiefs tough, but the Chiefs got to get their act together. I think the Chiefs cover this line, and we got to hopefully I'll be able to do the showdown breakdown for the analysis later tonight. But we'll get into that one. And then Monday Night Football, We got the Rams 3.5-point favorites against the 49ers. Definitely take the Rams, even though the Robert Woods news isn't good. It's still a matchup that heavily favors the Rams, in my opinion. So that's going to do it for me. I'm going to get out of here just so I can get this uploaded. But I love, like I said, I love the Dallas game, and I love the Tampa-Washington game. Those are the two games I'll be focused on for the main slate and where most of my builds are going. So best of luck, everyone. Enjoy the games, and until next time, have a good one.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Throwdown Podcast. Be sure to like and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and all other major outlets.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.